The idea of two people getting married has been around for a very long time. The idea of two people marrying when they are both men or both women is still a matter of debate. Many of our states are now in a second round, sometimes even third or fourth round of that debate. Oregon voters put marriage in the state constitution as one man, one woman arrangement 10 years ago with the passage of ballot measure 36. But in this election year, a campaign is afoot to change the law. We have two guests with us from Oregon United for Marriage. Stephen Jensen's here in the studio with me. Stephen, welcome to you.
Thanks for having us.
You have to bring that microphone back down to you. And I also want to welcome on the phone Mike Marshall, who is the campaign manager for Oregon United for Marriage. Mike, welcome.
Hey, good morning.
It's good to have you both here. Let's get each of your stories individually. Stephen, your microphone's back in position. Tell you about you. Tell us about you and why you're involved in this.
Well, I've lived in Southern Oregon since 1972. Lived here a long time. My wife was born here, married in 78. What brings me directly to the campaign is my daughter Emily, who lives currently in Portland with her partner, and they would dearly love to get married in the state that they love, and we're working hard to make that happen.
And Mike Marshall, let's hear from you. What's your personal story and why you're involved in this?
Right, Jeffrey, thanks for doing this program today. Well, I'm a gay man with a fiance who we very much want to get married, and But I come at this from a much larger perspective relative to, a man in his early 50s who came out of the closet in the late 80s and early 90s. And it was a process, and recognizing at the time that there were overt laws that were designed, designed to denigrate our relationships and prevent us from being full citizens under the law, keeping us from serving in the military, keeping us from being able to marry each other. As long as those overt laws were in place, we were never going to begin the job of eliminating homophobia, which I think is a huge issue in this country. So I got involved with the Freedom to Marry movement 15 years ago with the first effort to ban gay marriage in California back in the year 2000. It was Prop 22, which was the precursor to Prop 8, which everyone knows about now. And I think it's been an amazing 15 years journey for this country to talk about gay and lesbian families, gay and lesbian relationships, and to really begin to reconcile that we're an important fabric, important part of the fabric of this country.
I have to wonder particularly about you, Mike, because of the fact that you've been through this several times now, as you mentioned, having worked in California. Did you work on both campaigns, 22 and 8?
Much more so with Prop 22, but I was involved with Prop 8, yes.
Uh-huh. And there must be times when you think, oh, my gosh, you know, we've been through this so many times before. What's it going to take? But what keeps you, what keeps the effort going? What keeps you energized for the battle?
Well, the outcome. We're on the right side of history. We're on the right side of angels, as far as I'm concerned. And, the beauty of being the campaign manager of this job is every morning I get to get up and go into the office and figure out how do we take a message of love and commitment to the people of Oregon. And having worked in politics a long time, there are very few political campaigns that are about love and commitment. But 15 years ago when we started out in this, we knew we were going to lose in the beginning. It was, the issue was about losing forward, to be building and to be educating and to be creating coalitions and raising awareness. And, in a very short period of time, we have moved the needle. We lost by 22 percentage points in liberal California back in 2000. And today in Oregon, as we finish the job of collecting 160,000 signatures to put this on the ballot this fall, we have recent polling that shows that we're ahead 55 to 41 in terms of public opinion in Oregon. A sea change in one generation, a total sea change in public attitudes about gay and lesbian families. So, yet, those last 15 years, 12 of them were full of huge losses, but they were always, it was always about losing forward, and it was always about being on the right side of history.
Losing forward, that's an interesting bit of terminology.
Well, social movements require that you continually create a conversation, and that's where people begin to educate themselves. That's where people begin to address their fears. And, the God's honest truth is we have so much to be grateful for. As a gay man, I have so much to be grateful for to the religious right who set out 15 years ago to ban gay marriage across the country, and in the course of doing so, sparked a national conversation that has led to today, we have 17 states and the District of Columbia where people can get married. We have three or four more states where the courts have ruled that the ban on gay marriage is unconstitutional and is making its way through the courts so that the stays can be lifted. And, you know, we're and here in Oregon in 2014, we're going to have marriage equality for the first time. So it's pretty extraordinary. The progress we've made is pretty extraordinary, and it only happened because we took a long-term view at the outset of this fight and recognized that we were going to lose some battles before we were able to win the war.
We are talking about same-sex marriage and the propensity, the possibility of a bill coming up for Oregon folks to vote on in this fall's election. Mike Marshall is the campaign manager at United for Marriage, Oregon United for Marriage. Stephen Jensen is a supporter and longtime Ashland resident. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Again, can't handle the phones today because we don't have a screener, but you can certainly send your email comments and questions to jx@jeffnet.org. Stephen Jensen, you, since you've lived in the Rogue Valley a long time, I have to assume you were here for the ballot measure 36 vote in 2004, which put one man and one woman marriage into the Oregon Constitution. Do you have many memories of that campaign?
Well, that's an interesting question because Emily, our daughter, came out in her second year at Bryn Mawr, came home and informed the family at Christmas time, which was a journey for her family, believe me, in 2001. And so one would think that by 2004 that I would have had a heightened awareness of that campaign. But frankly, I hadn't quite gone that far as to be an eager advocate. And one of the reasons for that is, if I might speak to this a little bit about the journey that families go through, is sometimes in the first months or year of a child coming out, is you don't quite convince yourself that that's really their lifelong path. And so,
you mean you think it's temporary at first?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah. There's you know, particularly in college, there's experimentation, there's trying some different relationships, and so on. So, it's, and particularly back then, it's most families, for the most part, don't embrace the coming out wholly. So that's a long answer to why 2004. I was fairly stunned by it. I think that vote stunned a lot of people in this state. But I also want to dovetail that into Mike's comments about how far we've come, and that's to me what is really, really the beauty of this whole process is people, older gay couples who you talk to say they would never have thought we would have come this far this quick in their lifetime. And so that's the journey from 2004 to 2014.
But Mike Marshall, there must have been times in your career when you felt we'd traveled pretty far already as a society and that we were on the cusp of something. You talked about losing with Prop 22 in 2000 by 22 percentage points, but then Prop 8 also passed fairly easily. Not as easily, obviously. So, that, I mean, you must have thought that there was great progress being made before and got brought up a little short by the results.
Yeah, that's a great question, Jeffrey. You know, 2008 was a very hard year. It was, you know, President Obama was elected on election night in 2008, and what an extraordinary moment in American history that was, regardless of whether you supported him or not. The ascent of an African-American man to the presidency was an extraordinary moment, and I was in San Francisco that night, and I have to tell you, it was so hard for the LGBT community and the folks at the Prop 8 headquarters to see literally people dancing in the streets on the night that we were once again denigrated by the voters of of California. But I would also say it was a hugely it was an amazingly transformational event for the gay community. Three nights later, I was with friends heading to dinner in San Francisco, and there had been a march called for from the Castro to City Hall, which happens all the time in San Francisco, and there's usually a ragtag group of folks, 500 or 1,000 people. And on that night, there were over 25,000 people marching candlelight very quietly. And I looked around as we moved into the parade route, and it was mostly straight people with their kids. It was an extraordinary moment of people waking up and recognizing that we could do better. And I wouldn't give that moment up for anything. You know, that's where a nation built upon pivotal moments where we aspire to do better, and at some point we achieved that aspiration. And so I think we've moved the country at the right pace. I think every loss that we've incurred in the last 15 years has been a loss forward. And I think what Oregon has the chance to do in 2014 is to, because we will be the first state to repeal one of these constitutional bans, it's going to be an extraordinary moment for the country, because it'll be the first time that the voters say, hey, we changed our minds. We made a mistake. Isn't this terrific? We're in a place where we're not only going to repeal this ban, but we're going to enshrine marriage equality into our state constitution. That's huge for the people of Oregon, but it's also going to be a very powerful message to the United States Supreme Court, who are really going to ultimately decide the fate of LGBT families in Alabama and Texas and Florida, where the legislature and the courts are never going to rule on the right side of history, but instead are going to look to the Supreme Court to make this decision. And so we here in Oregon in November 2014 have the opportunity not just to do the right thing by Oregonians, but in fact to do the right thing by the rest of the country, particularly for families that don't have otherwise have a voice in this process. So, you know, and was it worth it to get to this point? I say it is. I think this is an extraordinary moment in time relative to not just the LGBT community, but to the notion of American equal rights.
We are talking to Mike Marshall and Stephen Jensen of the Oregon United for Marriage campaign. You can join this discussion on the Jefferson Exchange, unfortunately not via phone, because, again, we're short a screener today. You can take part via email. That address is jx@jeffnet.org. Do you have a measure number yet? Where do things stand with petition gathering and the whole process of actually getting this onto the ballot in November of 2014, Mike Marshall?
Right. So we won't have a measure number until July, but technically we needed to raise signatures. And as of this week, we're just shy of 160,000 signatures, which was our internal goal, so that it could not be, you know, even if 20-30% of our signatures were invalid, which they are not, we would still be secure a place on the November ballot. So we are now totally confident that we will qualify this for November. We have to submit the signatures in July, and then we will be assigned a number. The big news is that a federal lawsuit has been filed here in Oregon and is moving much faster forward than was ever anticipated. Because of everything that's happened at the national level, the landscape has shifted dramatically. So I am fully confident to tell your listeners that we will have marriage equality in 2014. The question is, will the courts give it to us as early as this spring, or will the voters give it to us in November?
And what is the court case that is working out right now? What's working through the courts?
So Basic Rights Oregon, our terrific statewide LGBT civil rights organization, and the ACLU have filed a suit in federal court, and it goes to the judge April 23rd. He'll hear oral arguments, and then the judge has anywhere from 3 weeks to 3 months to rule on that. You know, the question is, will he rule in our favor? Then will he issue a stay like the judges in Virginia and Oklahoma did? Or will he allow marriages to go forward? Will the decision be appealed? The attorney general and the governor are the only ones that have standing to appeal that decision, and both of whom support marriage equality. So I don't know that that will happen. So there are a lot of terrific ifs relative to that process that as campaign manager for the ballot initiative campaign, I have to sort of pay attention to, but not be swayed by. We have to keep our eye on the prize. So our signature gathering continues, and our laying the framework for an aggressive fall campaign continues. But all of that could be set aside by a court decision as early as this spring.
You know, the political reality, though, is that there are other things that could appear on the ballot that could energize voters who don't agree with you. I mean, we watched as so many ballot measures that banned gay marriage were put on the ballot in 2004, in part to bring out voters who would help get George W. Bush reelected. I mean, if you face a similar situation this year where there's some effort to get things on the ballot that will energize conservative voters, you could have a much tougher fight than you're currently representing, couldn't you?
Yes, we absolutely. We're taking nothing for granted. Let's be really clear about that. We are going to work 110% to pass this initiative. What's interesting is how much the tide has turned relative to this issue. And I'll share an interesting fact with your listeners, which is in Washington State in 2012, where they've there was a vote to protect the legislature's action to legalize same-sex marriage. Both marijuana legalization and marriage was on the ballot, and they saw a 8% increase in turnout amongst 18 to 24-year-olds over the 2008 Obama surge compared to states that only had marriage on the ballot. So, in other words, the combination of marriage and marijuana worked to the advantage of both of those issues because it turned out much younger voters at a much higher rate compared to other states. So there is a marijuana initiative also, or several that are being considered. So in fact, I think that our issue may drive turnout from our perspective and from our side of it compared to 2004 when it was used as a divisive effort to elevate candidates, conservative political candidates.
Now, Stephen Jensen, you had something to add to this?
I wanted to jump on that idea about the younger generation. Emily, who's a little over 30, has a younger brother, Sage, who's 24 years old, who just got married in a lovely wedding. We certainly, as Carol and I, would love to have Emily participate fully in such a wonderful event. But the younger generation, and I'm a retired teacher from South Medford High School. I was the Gay Straight Alliance faculty advisor over there. So I have a pretty good touch with the younger generation and what their attitudes are right now. They are going to be unequivocally our salvation. This issue is a non-issue for them. And when I say non-issue, they don't build up the ire and the fear of same-sex marriage. They are so much more embracing and tolerant. And the challenge for the campaign is to get the young vote out, is to get these kids to get registered to vote. And if I could say anything to your listeners, it would be you and your family and extended family, if you support this issue, which you hopefully do, is to get your young folks registered and get them to vote this election.
We have an email here from Joe in Talent weighing in on gay marriage. He says, frankly, I just don't get the conservative stance on gay marriage or civil unions. What happened to personal freedom and responsibility they tout? I'm straight, been married 2 times and engaged more than that. And in that time, my gay brother has been in a single loving relationship with the same man and happy. I think I am more of a threat on the institution of marriage than he is. I know the Constitution protects our religious freedoms, but it also protects us from religious tyranny, and the continual ban on granting gays basic human rights is nothing short of that. That an email from Joe in Talent. Mike Marshall, as you express the optimism that something will happen, that Oregon will change it this year, this is a fairly steep hill to climb, though, isn't it? You talk about it being the first state to repeal a ban on gay marriage.
Absolutely. We're taking nothing for granted. And Steve made a very, very important point, which is, yes, we have tremendous support amongst young voters, but a sad fact is 400,000 voters under the age of 40 in Oregon are not registered to vote for this election. So we have a lot of work to do to not only get them to the polls, but in fact get them registered so that they can vote. I love what the your listener emailed to you, which is this conservative notion that freedom is freedom means freedom for everybody, and that's the bottom line here. And I think that there is a sea change on the right hand side of our political column as well. And we've seen Freedom Oregon launched in support of Oregon United for Marriage, which is a coalition of statewide Republicans who are actively campaigning on behalf of marriage equality. That's something you did not see in 2004. And in fact, one of the people instrumental in that effort was the state director for the Bush-Cheney campaign, who thoroughly benefited from the constitutional ban of 2004. So politically, here in Oregon, there is a sea change in terms of support for marriage equality, but we're absolutely not taking anything for granted. We're looking to have filled 29,000 volunteerships between now and Election Day of people registering voters, being on the phones at night talking to voters, and getting people out to the polls in the fall. We want to not only win, we want to win by a wide margin.
And what did you say the numbers are currently indicated by polling in Oregon?
55% support our initiative, 41% oppose.
You would imagine there'd be some squishing of those figures as time draws closer to the actual vote, right?
Absolutely. And it really depends on how much our opponents spend. There's no other state voting on marriage equality, so we have to assume they're going to dump all their resources here. And then, Jeffrey, there's another aspect to this, which is there's a competing ballot initiative that the other side is trying to qualify, which will carve out an exception to our anti-discrimination laws that lets corporations and individuals discriminate against gay couples celebrating their weddings. And we have to defeat that as well.
All right. So a big, busy election year in Oregon, certainly shaping up as we talk to the folks of the Oregon United for Marriage campaign. Mike Marshall's the campaign manager, joined us by phone. Stephen Jensen here in the studio. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having us.
Good to have you both. That'll do it for hour one. Back in hour number two to talk with Roman Kersnarik once again about how should we live. That's coming up on the Jefferson Exchange.